You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's a Doggy Dog World is brought to you by PetCareRx, America's most affordable pet pharmacy. PetCareRx offers the same meds as top vets, but with a savings up to 50%. And if you find a lower price on a certified EPA and FDA approved medication, PetCareRx will match that price. So go to PetCareRx.com. Use promo code DOGWORLD10. DOGWORLD, the number 10, and receive $10 off orders of $50 or more.
It's a big world out there, and you're just looking for a pat on the back or head. You're running around the city, searching for a place to bark, working your tail off with your nose to the ground, sniffing for a few scraps, hoping someone will throw you a bone. You take each lead, collar after collar, hoping one day to take a bite out of success and become the top dog. Fortunately, you come home each day to open arms, open cans, a drink waiting for you, and a comfortable place in front of the TV set. You know you've got it good, really good, because after all, it's a doggy dog world out there. Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with your host, pet expert, and award-winning author, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Hi, welcome to It's a Doggy Dog World. I'm your host, Liz Palaika, and with me today, as always, are my good friends, Petra Burke.
Hello.
And Kate Abbott.
How do?
Today we're talking about a subject that a lot of people would rather not think about, and that's the end of our dog's lives. When we've got a treasured dog, it's hard to think about losing him someday, but unfortunately that happens. So we're going to talk about some different things that you can think about when that time comes, because to be perfectly honest, it's better to plan ahead than wait until the last minute. And when we come back, before we get into that less than happy subject, we're going to talk about a special offer we've got for you. So hold on and we'll be right back.
Sit. Stay. It's a Doggy Dog World. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
It's a Doggy Dog World is brought to you by Petco.com. Petco is a leading specialty retailer of premium pet food supplies and services, offering more than 10,000 high-quality pet-related products. Enter the code DOGGY10, D-O-G-G-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code DOGGY, D-O-G-G-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/world, W-O-R-L-D, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. We know you're begging for more. So back to It's a Doggy Dog World with your fetching hosts, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Welcome back to It's a Doggy Dog World. I'm Liz, and with me today are Petra and Kate. And before we get talking about the idea of losing one of our treasured old dogs, I want to announce a contest. One of my publishers has given me some copies of my books, and I want to give them away. So I've got some copies of The Howl Book of Dogs, which is a research book that was released last year and won several awards, including Best Reference Book from the Dog Writers Association of America. It was also nominated for Best Reference Book by the San Diego Dog Awards contest. What I'd like you to do is drop me an email, liz@petliferadio.com, and tell Petra, Kate, and I why you chose the breed of dog or mixture of breeds that you have. Tell us a little bit about why you have that dog or that breed. We'll take all of those emails, drop them in the hat, and on June 30th, we'll pull out someone's name and we'll drop you an email back and let you know you've got a copy of the Howl Book of Dogs, and we'll send it to you when we get your address. So that's liz@petliferadio.com. Send us an email. Tell us why you have the breed of dog you have or the mixture of breeds. We're not specific. You don't have to have a purebred. Tell us why you have your puggle or your chug.
Jerky.
Or why you have your Cocker Spaniel Poodle mix. We're just fine with that. And you might just win a copy of my book. So.
And we'll mention your story on the air.
And we'll let everybody know. All right. Contest aside. Now, let's talk about the end of your dog's life. Riker's 11. I see the changes in him. He's growing older.
Kona's 10, right behind you.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we've got several more years with Riker. I know his will be limited by his hips. He has severe hip dysplasia, and he's already got some arthritis. And I'm doing what I can to keep him comfortable. His weight's down. He's slim and trim.
He looks good.
And we had his old dog checkup a couple months ago, and blood work came back great. But I know in reality the time is going to come. I hate to think about it. It's going to be a very sad day when we lose that old dog. It's going to be a sad day when you lose Kona.
I know. It'll be very sad.
Yeah.
Be sad the days we lost our other dogs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, they just don't live long enough. I mean, plain and simple. They just don't live long enough. But there are some things we can do to make them more comfortable. With Riker right now, because of his bad hips, I'm keeping his weight down. He would love to eat a lot more than he does. He and I have that same problem. But I keep him slim. I keep him moving. I keep him exercised, you know, at an appropriate level. And then I do work with my veterinarian as far as pain relief for him for his bad hips. I tend to rotate pain medications so I keep the stress on his liver and his kidneys down rather than giving him just one pain medication that could destroy his liver or destroy his kidneys. But I'm working with my veterinarian with that. It's not just something that I arbitrarily decided to do.
I'm sorry, the Kona, overall healthy. He doesn't run into walls.
Well, poor Kona's totally blind. I thought he was going to take himself out the other day when he ran into the post at the pergola.
Oh, dear.
But then you're working with pain relief with Gina, too.
For an ongoing chronic back problem, so it's only going to deteriorate and get worse and worse. So again, I'm using a mixture in conjunction with the vet's expertise and just trying to do enough to keep her comfortable and keep her moving as much as possible. So it probably would be this degenerative problem with her back rather than age.
Yeah.
But who knows? Look at Riker. He's not supposed to be walking, and he's not bouncing around.
Yeah.
Well, and then Liz and I also, and probably eventually Gina, we checked them out for those old dog bumps.
Lumps and bumps.
Lumps and bumps everywhere.
With Riker, he was starting to get so many that one day we had a We drew an outline of an Aussie, and we did a massage over him and marked all the bumps. And when I took that into a veterinarian, he was thrilled that it's still in Riker's folder. So when I take Riker in, he can check, he can do a massage over Riker, feel the bumps, check the chart, see that we had marked those. Ah, it's the same size. It hasn't changed. Okay, good. Or if it has changed, how much? So, definitely.
Yeah. And I, when I brought Kona in for his little issue with the foxtails a few weeks ago, the same thing. I told the vet exactly where all the bumps are. And she was like, you know, I wish more people would come in and point little things out like this. She wrote them all down, measured them, made, you know, we're going to track them, make sure they don't change.
Now, at some point, you come to the idea or the thought, or your veterinarian might mention it, that your dog's days are growing shorter. I mean, there's not a nice way to put it, growing shorter. And at that point, you have to have a family discussion or yourself or talk with your vet or all of the above. And what are you going to do? You know, we have some friends, Petra and Kate and I have some friends who have terriers, and they don't personally believe in euthanasia. So their dogs all pass away at home at the end of their natural lifetime. They do work with their veterinarian to keep the dog comfortable, but personally, for their own belief system or whatever, they don't do euthanasia. I think I would find that incredibly hard. Although we've had two old cats pass away at home on their own, I guess the cats hide more.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking all the ones that you and I have lost to old age. We always said they'll tell you when the time's right, and I can, as far as I can recall, they have.
They've all managed to. The hardest one, the latest one that Paul and I lost, Dax, was very difficult because she was my husband's dog, and Dax was ready, and I was ready, but he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dax basically had to hang on until he was ready. And then Dax made it so very clear, she got really grumpy, that he had to admit that it was time. But I think she was ready a little sooner than that. But he had to reach that point too. But I think some guidelines that you can think about, you know, one is your dog having more bad days than good days. And I don't just mean that casually, but, you know, is your dog obviously uncomfortable and not happy to be here?
Yeah. We throw around the level of, I can't think of the phrase we throw around.
Quality of life.
Thank you. Quality of life. I'm having trouble with my words this week. Quality of life, and that's such a phrase that we hear a lot, but what does it really mean? But for a dog that is a working dog, like Riker and carts and stuff like that. I mean, he got so excited the last time you put his harness on and hooked him up to the cart.
And then he couldn't do it.
And he couldn't do it. So you had to ease him out and tell him what a good boy he was and just do it for a short period and then not bring it out again. But he still has other joys.
Yes. He still does therapy dog work with the kids.
And he still loves that. And that still brightens his day and it gets him up.
Yeah. I think the beginning of the end for Riker will actually be when he can no longer do therapy dog work.
Okay.
Because...
So that's his level for what his quality is.
That's his joy in life, is when we go, when we pull up at that daycare center for those kids, he'd stay there. He would stay there and not come home with me.
Nice, Riker.
But, you know, this old dog has so much love to give. He always has. He's always been too rough to visit senior citizens. But, oh, he loves visiting the kids. So that will be a very hard day if I ever have to make the decision that he can't go back.
My previous Roddy girl was a Velcro dog, you know, not clinging right next to me. But if I got up and left the room, she'd follow me.
Uh-huh.
And then when she got the bone cancer, it was the day that I got up and left the room and realized she wasn't there.
Oh.
And I came back in and she was so, I can't follow you, I can't follow you.
Oh.
That was a big threshold for us to go. That's when I went, okay, the time is near.
Yeah.
She can't do this thing that was central to her life.
Yes.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
for one of Virginia's small toy poodles. It was his big joy, frankly, was going out and laying in the sun and smelling the flowers.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And the day I saw him go to the door and then drop his head and sigh and turn around and go on to his bed.
Oh.
That was the day I said, okay, you know.
Those are just like changes to habits that, you know, they enjoy. Yeah. And when you saw that start diminishing, then you really got to start looking at, are they happy anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, are they in pain?
Yeah, pain or discomfort that can't be relieved.
Right.
I mean, pain medications only work up to a certain point. And they may have side effects that can cause their own problems. Mm-hmm. So is it worth the trade-off? Everything in life seems to be a trade-off one way or the other. So whether it's the pain medication dulling the pain so they can move around, but then you worry about
the liver, the kidneys, it
has its own problems.
Yep.
I do think, for me, putting my dogs down, euthanasia, before they reach the point of agony...
Oh, definitely.
Hopefully way before that.
Yeah. Right.
But when their quality of life is that diminished that each day is not a joy to open your eyes, then I think it's the last great responsibility I have as their owner.
Well, with Dax, she had congenital liver disease, so she'd lived with it for 13 and a half years. Once we had it diagnosed when she was about 6 because she seizured, then we were able to use some remedies to keep her more comfortable. But at the end of her life, the liver was enlarged, so her abdomen was enlarged, so she couldn't stand any touch on her abdomen. And then she was becoming incontinent, and we had to diaper her.
And for her, that was embarrassing.
That was embarrassing, and she put up with it for about 2 months, which I give her great thanks for, because that brought us through the holiday season. It brought us through Christmas. But then in January, she started telling me very, very plainly, I do not want that thing on me. But yet she was horrified when she had an accident in the house. And that's when Dax and I had to have a talk with Paul and say, look, you know, she's miserable. She's in pain. She's uncomfortable. She's embarrassed. And she's showing us, she was snapping, she was trying to bite.
And every individual does have different standards, if you will, or moral imperatives or whatever. Yeah. I mean, my own mother asked to be put out of her misery.
Yeah.
But with the legal laws in California, I couldn't do so.
My dad, during hospice care, said the same thing. He said, we can be so much kinder to our pets than we can be to our elders.
Yeah.
And that hurt, you know, that I couldn't do for him what I could do for my dog. So, and he was in tremendous pain.
I know. Others have that. You never have the right to take life. Blah,
oh,
blah, blah,
I know.
But I just...
The kindness.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what
but
is
that is
euthanasia.
Something you got to decide for
oh,
yourself.
Oh, yeah. It's a personal decision. And you dog owners should certainly talk to their veterinarians, but many veterinarians cannot or will not tell you when it's time, simply because they're in the business of saving lives, if at all possible. And this is a personal decision. It's between you and your dog, or you and your spouse or significant other and your dog. And only you can make that decision.
I mean, or like us, I mean, we'll even talk amongst ourselves, throw it off. Hey, this is what's happening.
Uh-huh.
You know, the changes, our dogs are, you know, what they're doing, what they're not doing any longer. Sometimes just to voice it out, to hear yourself start talking, you almost start...
And sometimes
hearing yourself and going, wait a minute.
Sometimes
I need to
you
listen.
Cannot do it. You can come to the decision, but you can't do it yourself.
Yeah, that's when I take Liz with me.
And my sister and I just took in my mom's old dog. Thankfully, she's got the puppy at home, but she could not take Cosmo in.
Mm-hmm.
She made the decision. She agreed it was time, but she could not take him in. And so my sister and I did, and we stayed with him and talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
But she couldn't do it.
Working as a vet tech, we had a number of people that just couldn't do it and didn't have anybody else. But, you know, they'd come to the clinic, we'd say, do as much time as you need.
Mm-hmm.
you say your goodbyes now, maybe mm-hmm. give a little relaxing agent mm-hmm. to the pet.
Right.
And then it was like a sacred responsibility, a sacred torch passed on to us to then say, we'll now take it from here. We'll tell him you loved him. We'll tell him he's a wonderful dog or cat.
Yeah.
We'll hold him and cuddle him.
Yeah.
And, but you can say your goodbyes now.
Yeah.
It's not the easy part.
No. And when I worked for the vet, we did that a number of times too. Personally, I like to stay with them.
Yeah.
I feel it's my responsibility. But right. again, that's my decision.
Exactly.
So let's talk about what happens. Kate, you and I have been a vet tech in previous parts of our lives. When my sister and I brought Cosmo in a few weeks ago, as they usually do, they put a catheter in because they certainly don't want to miss the vein at the crucial time. And they gave him
Tranquilizer,
something to relax him. And basically that's so the dog doesn't panic at the end. Now, Dax, at the end, her last thing as she left this earth was a snarl. But that was Dax.
That's her.
I would have thought something was wrong had she gone out more meekly. Most dogs, at the end, they just take a deep breath and they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And it's very peaceful. You can talk your dog through it. Mary was talking to Cosmo and telling him what a good dog he was. Mm-hmm. And heck, he was 15 and a half. So that's a long life.
Yeah. And the euthanasia
agent
given usually by injection into the catheter, is it does work on the brain first.
Yes.
And
the heartbeat's the last thing.
Then the lungs and then the heart. So.
Yeah.
But it's very peaceful.
It's very
That's
peaceful.
That's the thing. Very peaceful.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of weird how many animals that I have felt give that last sigh.
Yes.
In my arms. But it's always been, through the euthanasia, it's always been a sigh of relief.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, the dog hit by a car or something where you could just feel them fighting it every inch.
Right.
Yes. They're not ready exactly. to go. Yeah.
But, done right, it is a release.
Yeah.
Thank you for a job well done, and now
And I'll
get
see
to go.
You over the Rainbow Bridge.
There you go.
And I swear, this is going to sound strange to some people, I'm sure, but I swear, you often know when the soul leaves.
We did, with Shasta.
Yeah.
We knew.
We had Kona and Riker with us mm-hmm. so that they could say goodbye to her. And when Shasta took that last breath, both Riker and Kona looked up at the ceiling, and
yeah,
it was almost freaky. You and I looked at each other and went,
and it was silent.
Yes.
So silent, but not an eerie silence.
No, they just looked
it was
up,
it was just
and Dr. Asheri was looking at us, and
we looked up
the boys were looking, and then it was gone. It was just, you know, a second or two or three.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Cosmo, I had brought Riker with us because, bless his soul, he's so good. And he was up on the bench next to the examining table. Mary was stroking Cosmo. Riker stuck his head under Mary's arm, kissed Cosmo's face, and Cos was gone. So it was just, you know.
I have one cat that I had taken to the clinic when I was working there, not expecting to put him down that day. I just had a weird feeling he wasn't quite right.
And you needed to have him...
And I have him checked out, so I took him to work with me. At the end of the day, as I was getting ready to take him home, we hadn't found anything wrong with him. He had a brain aneurysm break. It was about 10 seconds of violence, and then he was gone. But I left him there. I wished, if looking back, I so wished that I had taken his body home.
Yes.
Not that there was still there, but to let the other cat know who grieved and grieved and grieved.
Yeah.
Whereas I've taken with brother and we had litter mates, brother and sister poodles, had to put her down finally from the pain of the cancer. Took him along. He kissed her. So, as soon as that needle was to plunge, he gave her one last kiss, and then he was done. That wasn't her anymore. That was just her body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was finished.
Yeah.
And he went on home. He didn't
He grieved.
Yeah.
But he didn't fall apart.
Well, let's continue with this. Let's take a break for our sponsors, and we'll talk about that when we get back. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Sit. Stay. It's a Doggy Dog World. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to FlurOp.com and use the code DOGGYDOG at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word DOGGYDOG.
Hello!
Danica, where have you been?
Oh, Graham, I've been busy, you know, racing, GoDaddy girl.
Oh, I built my own online store with GoDaddy.
Really? Let me see. Grandma'sAuction.com? Hey, aren't those Grandpa's golf clubs?
Grandma needs her bingo money.
Use promo code DOGGY10, D-O-G-G-Y, the number 10, and get a .com domain name for just $7.49 at GoDaddy.com.
If you ask the question, what do I want? What do I need? I'll take affection. Irene should mention. I need time, I need love, I crave attention.
There's a new wedding by the dawn, with shaking tails and happy hearts, and running circles round the floor. That's always when the party starts. They are my friends, they are my children, they are the first.
Mark Winter, available on iTunes.
Welcome to Sassy Seniors, a show about our fabulous older dogs and cats. I'm your host, Kelly Jackson. You know, I wanted to create a show to really showcase our senior pets. And, you know, as the human population ages and lives longer, of course, so are our wonderful pets. But many of us with aging pets, it's so interesting. We have a tough time realizing or really admitting that they are seniors. So, in a way, I kind of like to think of our senior pets as wise puppies. What do you think about that? Be sure to join us for another edition of Sassy Seniors. And remember, celebrate your senior pets.
Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We know you're begging for more. So back to It's a Doggy Dog World with your fetching hosts, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Welcome back to It's a Doggy Dog World. A little bit more serious topic today than you often hear us talk about, but it's one we get questions about. It's one that we're all going to face. If we love dogs, we're going to lose them, unfortunately, at some point.
And we have so many during our lifetime.
Yeah.
You're going to lose
I swear it's a lesson we have to learn. Mm-hmm. It's part of why we love dogs and why their lifetimes are so short. But
there's a company it's a real estate management company that finds business properties for businesses. And that's all. And I have no idea if they're a good company or a bad company, but I absolutely love their motto. Life is a lease. Negotiate well.
No.
I just think that is so zen. I don't know if they meant it that way, but it is. None of us are here permanently.
No. Nope. Mm-hmm.
It is a lease. You got to turn in the property
yep.
at the end of your lease.
What's that song? It's our temporary home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We're just passing through.
Yep.
And that's true.
Of course,
for
I like
critters.
Tim McGraw's "Live Like You Were Dying."
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, before our break, Kate, you were talking about
letting the others
grieve. I understand that totally, and often Paul and I have done that. We've had the veterinarian come to our house. Now with Dax, we didn't do that, and I'm not sure why, except looking back, maybe because I knew Paul wasn't going to be able to be there. So I took Paul to our vet, or took Paul.
Paul, your vet, huh?
took Dax to our veterinarian, and I shouldn't have. I really shouldn't have, because one of our cats was a kitten while Dax was a puppy, Havoc, and Havoc grieved horribly.
You know what's sad about that whole story? The boys partied. Your cat grieved.
I know.
Your cat missed your dog.
I know. To the point that he curled up and died.
Yeah.
He searched the house for her for 2 days. He cried and cried and cried. Nothing we could do could change anything. I had Dax's bed out, her blanket out. And after searching the house for a couple days, he hid in a corner, curled up in a ball, and he passed away 2 weeks later. There was nothing we could do. Our veterinarian could find nothing wrong with him. He just said, "She's not here anymore. I don't want to be here."
Yeah.
And I so wished that we had her at home so he could have said goodbye. Maybe the outcome would have been the same way. I don't know. Because Havoc wasn't attached to much of anybody else.
No, just to, yeah, that was so strange. Yeah. Just to Dax.
Dax was his best
Very
friend.
Very unique relationship.
Yeah. He was half feral. You know, he lived in our house, but he was feral. Nobody else ever saw him. I mean, you saw him, what, maybe 3 times in his entire lifetime?
Yeah.
No, and he was 16 when he passed away. So
I was honored. I think I pet him twice.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
My mom would watch the cats when we went away, and she never saw him. Never, ever. So he was a feral cat in the house, but he was Dax's cat.
Yeah.
So
it could have been the same, but you're always going to regret.
I'm always going to regret that we didn't have her euthanized at home, so perhaps he could have said goodbye.
But he's fine, because he's with her now.
But that's absolutely true. He's with her now, and perhaps the same result would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to tell. But many times we have had the veterinarian come to the house, and that way the other animals can say goodbye. Or, like with Cosmo, we took two of them with us.
And your dogs don't mind going to the vet.
No, they're not stressed.
Dog or a cat who's stressed about going there,
yeah.
Why add to that?
It's like Shasta. She was fine with Sherry's. And we took two of the other dogs. And, she was happy being in my van.
Yeah.
She She hadn't got up for, 2 days?
Yeah.
And then we lifted her into the van, and she sat up in the back going, "We're going on a road trip."
Yeah.
Yep. She was happy.
Fancy van does make a lot of dogs happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But something else I think people need to think about is what to do afterwards. Now, I know you had Shasta cremated, and you have her in a beautiful little urn or box.
I still have it.
Sure.
Well, Mom's got Rusty's.
Yeah. I just still have it.
Yeah. No, I've had several dogs' ashes and bury them and plant a rose bush.
Yeah.
To me, that's kind of I don't have a place where I can put in too many trees. I'd rather put in a tree that lasts longer. But I can plant a rose bush, and I've got some beautiful roses.
That's true.
Yeah.
But for most people, you should plan ahead.
I mean, yes.
Think about what you want to do before you're freaked out at that moment.
Because at that moment, somebody's going to ask you at the veterinarian's office, "What would you like us to do?" And you don't want to make a decision you're going to regret later. If you really would like the dog's ashes in a nice little urn or box, and you ask them to take care of everything and dispose of the remains, you can't come back later and change your mind.
You're
like,
no.
And you can go all the way. I mean, I have attended a dog's funeral.
Sure.
Complete with the casket in the viewing room ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I could be comfortable with that, but then I'm not real comfortable with many people's funerals that way either.
Yeah. So, wonder, it was a woman in her late 80s, retired from Macy's in New York, living out, anyway. And yeah, her little Sheltie. And that's what she wanted. Sure. She wanted a full-on casket, viewing, mm-hmm. ceremony, graveside, dropping the dirt in, flowers on the whole headstone.
Wow.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
But that was the ritual she needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Whatever your ritual is, own it and get ready for it.
Yeah.
I have some dog's ashes and not others. I do tend to believe the body's pretty much, once the soul is gone, it's just organic matter.
Right.
Yeah.
But some dogs I have felt the need to cremate and keep their ashes.
And that was Shasta. For Petra. Yeah. She
I still feel the need just to keep her.
Yeah.
Now when she comes back in another lifetime, perhaps that'll change.
Probably.
Yeah. And then the next step after that, I'm a writer. I have to write it out. When I lose a dog or a cat or even the story of Havoc, sometimes it ends up published, sometimes it's in a blog, sometimes I just write it for me. But I have to write about it. I'm a writer. And that was my first published work. When I lost Watashi, I wrote about it. It ended up getting published in Dog World magazine and the German Shepherd Dog Review, and I got my first fan mail. And I went, wow, what I write touches people. Mm. And went, huh, maybe I can do this. Because I had a college teacher who told me I couldn't write.
Oh.
Well, you didn't
have
know
you looked
that?
Him up lately?
I've thought about it many times. Okay. I thought I would fill a wagon with my 67 books and
mail it to him.
Road trip?
Yeah, there we go. Well, Saddleback College was where he was. I don't know if he's still there. But up in Mission Viejo. Mm-hmm. I have to look up my transcripts one day. But anyway, he told me I couldn't write, so I didn't write for 10 years. And then I lost a dog and wrote about what that dog did for me. And it was published in two different places and went, ha, I can do this.
And as much as I love words and reading and writing and all the above, I am a little more tactile.
Uh-huh.
So I, like with my last girl, I made paw impressions of her foot and made like a shadow box with her collar.
Oh, yeah.
And some
Isn't
drawings.
Isn't that funny? I keep their collars too. So does my mom. When we took Cosmo in, she wanted his collar and his tag.
I did a little ink and pen drawing, and I made a shadow box of these things and a couple of photos of our special places and things we've done together.
I make photo album. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like that's a tradition. Gotta have the book.
Scrapbook.
Yep. Yep.
But that's my little shrine, my little memorial, my little ritual.
Yep.
For doing that. Do you have a ritual?
I have Shasta's fur. Some of her fur.
Ah.
And then of course I have her still.
That's right. I had one just reminding me, I had a client at the veterinary clinic, so she took, basically she said she was making a medicine bag.
Oh.
And she was an American Indian, but really admired those rituals, so she took some fur and a toenail and the dog tag.
Made an amulet.
She made and put it all in a leather bag that she carried for about a year.
Yeah.
Before she was ready to put it aside, not throw it away, but just
put it aside,
put it aside on the mantle or something for a while.
Now, let's talk about grief. Grief is tough. It's totally emotional. There's no logic. Now, people who study grief say there are traditionally five stages. There's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And I think people, as a general rule, do go through the five stages, but sometimes some are compressed or combined. Or, for example, when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, there was always a little bit of denial. Oh, that lump isn't that important. Surely they made a mistake. You know, he can fight this. But he went straight into acceptance because I think he'd been sick for so long that he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew in his bones that. So he went straight to acceptance. My mom had a lot of anger. Ray, you knew about that bump. Why didn't you do something about it? And I think also if we have a young dog that we get angry because why am I losing this dog at this age? Why isn't he going to live out his lifetime? There can be a lot of anger there. Bargaining? Sometimes I think the bargaining part doesn't always make much sense. You know, we try to make it logical in our head. Well, if I do this, this will work. Or if I do this, he'll live longer. Or if we try this treatment, it'll stave it off.
Oh, I definitely did that with my previous girl because I didn't think she'd lived long enough to be losing her. And not to that awful bone cancer. And I'll do everything. I'll do the radiation and the chemo, and it'll make her better. That was my bargain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bargain with God or a spiritual, and sometimes it's with the medical field.
Yeah. And depression? Oh, I think we all, you know, if we've had a treasured dog, I think there's always depression. Mm-hmm. Even with Cosmo, 15 and a half, we knew that he'd lived a long lifetime. With Dax at 13 and a half, we never expected to have her that long. I mean, the vet had told us 7.5 years previous that we weren't going to have her long. But even so, there's still the depression. Dax was a difficult dog. She made me mad. She was tough. She was a bitch. But you still hate to lose them. Exactly. You know, now, granted, the two boy dogs at home had a party. The cat missed her.
Ding but, dong, the bitch is dead.
Yeah. And then finally acceptance. But you know what? Acceptance comes at different times for people. You know, sometimes it can happen a little more quickly. Sometimes it takes a while.
And I can't think of anybody I've met that has gone through the 5 stages of grief in a linear fashion.
Oh, no, there's ups and downs and back and forth. And
1 step forward, 2 steps back, 4 steps forward, let's step to the side. Let's throw in a little guilt and fear along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Regrets, it all gets so mixed up.
When we lost Havoc after Dax, there was so much anger, sorrow. Oh, I screwed up. Oh, could we have done something different? To lose both old animals in such a very short period of time. And then feeling so bad over losing the cat, over losing Havoc. Like, what could we have done different if we had brought the vet to the house? If we had done this, if we had done that. The bargaining.
I think the ifs are a lot of bargaining.
Oh, mm-hmm. Definitely.
The regrets definitely. Over bargains you could have made but didn't.
And so it brought back all the grief for Dax all over again. So, yeah, there's nothing straight line linear about it. It's
or for the other pets in the family, too.
Oh, yeah.
They may go through it, too.
Yep.
They may go through anger. Leave me alone. Don't bug me.
Yep.
Who knows if they're going through bargaining.
Kona did a little, but I think because he was there for the closure of it.
It
wasn't
I do
like all of a sudden
helps.
Shasta was gone and never came back. He was actually there.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I do think that helps a lot. Before we go, I've got a couple phone numbers for you for pet loss hotlines. There are people you can talk to. Now, thankfully with us here at Kindred Spirits, being good friends, we can call on each other and cry on shoulders or sound each other out before it's time. Mm-hmm. I know before we let Dax go, I talked about it a lot. Oh, are we close? Are we not close? Are we extending things too long? Oh, how can I help Paul be more ready? And you can't. People have to be ready on their own. But there was a lot of back and forth. If you talk to someone and they give you that garbage, but it was only a dog... You know what? Walk away. Go talk to someone else.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone make you feel less because you're grieving
and
for
I
a dog.
And I remember people would say that about Shasta, but you're the only one. You and I talked all the time.
Yeah.
And it was, you'll know. And I remember going through going, am I going to know? How am I going to know? How is she going to tell me? But you know what? You're right. They can. And it was, she clearly told me when she was ready. But there were some people going, it's just a dog. It's like, that dog was my soulmate. If anybody, a dog could be, that was her.
Dax wasn't my soulmate, but she was Paul's. She, if she had her way, would have replaced me. But because she was Paul's, I loved her too. So, but anyway, grab a pen, all our listeners, grab a pen. And here's a couple pet loss hotlines. The University of California Davis Veterinary Hospital has a pet loss hotline. It's 530-752-3602. That, again, that 530-752-3602. Or 800 number, 800-565-1526. And again, that's 800-565-1526. Now, that's in California. On the East Coast, the Cornell University Veterinary Hotline is area code 607-253-3932. And again, that's 607-253-3932. And I know this isn't a cheerful subject, and we usually try to keep our chats a little more upbeat, but it's one that's important to all of us.
And we all face it.
And we all face it at some point.
Yeah.
And do check around. I know two of our local humane societies also have pet grief counseling groups.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So they have a hotline, they have someone to talk to, and then they have a group with others that, you know, you can share.
And I was saying, don't feel embarrassed, because these are our kids. They're our family. And some people go, oh my God, I'm acting like this, and it was just a dog, or it was just a cat. No, they're your family for what? 13, 14, 15 years, or a short time. It doesn't matter.
And how much history we share with them. How many times have we cried into the dog's shoulder? How many times have we...
How many secrets have we
whispered secrets in their ears? How many walks in the sun?
I don't think there's another creature on Earth that's watched me pee as much.
There you go.
So there. How close can we be?
And on that note... We'll talk to you later. Give your dogs a hug for us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding. Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.